Well, good morning, all those who are watching live stream. We miss you. We love you. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we continue to go verse by verse. Today I want to talk about a word that kind of is very, very hard to live. It's called submission. But I want to focus on today the freedom of submission and how freeing it is. There was this guy, he was on the roof. He was putting the antenna. He's sick of paying for cable, $200 a month. All I have to put a, he put an antenna on top of his house. Now he's putting his antenna, and he slipped and he fell and he dragged off and he was holding on to the gutter, the metal gutter. And while he was there, he said, "Is there anybody up there in heaven who could help me?" A voice came from heaven, "I can help you." "Well, what should I do?" he said. The voice from heaven said, "Let go and I'll catch you." The man replied, "Is there anybody else up there who can help me?" So, this man didn't want to submit because he didn't trust heaven, that heaven would take care of him. Now, this man, he didn't want it to submit to the heaven's instruction because he thought it was going to lead to pain, not well-being, not comfort in life. Surrendering to God's established submission leads to freedom and abundant life. And I want to start with Philippians chapter 2. And this is the example of Christ. It says this, "Who being or existing in the form," it's morphe, it means the exact image of being or essence. It's a great verse for that he is God. "In the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So that's just saying he put aside his glory. He took on human flesh, it limited him, he still was God, but made himself of no reputation. There's the word we get kenosis from, the self-emptying. "And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient." And that's the idea of submission. "Unto death, even the death of the cross." So because Jesus submitted himself, and he submitted himself to the death of the cross, we can be free. So I want you to start off with that. Submission brings freedom. Without Jesus going to the cross and dying, there would be no freedom. King Xerxes was the king of Persia. And he was fighting Greece, the Grecian Empire. And as you well know, Greece eventually took over the Persians. And so there was a defeat. So King Xerxes got back on a ship. This is a true story. He got back on a ship, and as they were traveling, the captain came. There was a storm that came and said, "Captain, we have to get rid of the cargo. We got to lighten up the ship." And then, true story, King Xerxes goes towards some of his men and says, "The safety of the king and the freedom of the king is the most important thing." So some of the men bowed to him, and they jumped overboard. And that ship made it safely to land. Xerxes was free because these guys were willing to submit to the point of death. Now, I'm not saying I agree with what he did, but it's a true story. So my main thought today is, walk out of here with submission leads to freedom in God, in God's realm. We think it's the opposite, and you're going to struggle with this message because nobody in this room wants to submit to no one. Our flesh, we want our own way. We don't want to submit to no one. And I'm going to show you the freedoms that it brings. So the first I want to talk about the attitude of submission for all believers. We see that in verse 21. It says, before we get to verse 22, and I'm going to focus on that in a minute. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I'm going to talk about the fear of God for a second. So watch what it's saying. You truly want to worship God? Fear is awe of who God is, right? So watch this now. I'm going to tie submission to many things as we go in this message. So submission is worship to God. So when we're not submitting to God in the different realms, the different areas, we're going to go through those in a minute. When we're not, We are not bringing worship to God. He tithes it. So think of this. You say, I came here this morning to worship God. We think worship is just singing. That's great. I love it. It's been awesome. But every time you submit to God in whatever realm, it's like this. You're worshiping God. Make that connection. Make that connection. Now, the word submit is hupotasso in the Greek, and it has the idea of subordination, to put under, to arrange under, to obey. So it's like this in the military, right? A private submits to the sergeant within that realm. And I'm going to explain to you what submission is and what is not. We're going to get to that, so just stay with me. But again, it's hard to submit because it goes against our nature. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we could do this. We could do this. And we will not have total peace inside until we submit. Roger Staubach, those who are Dallas Cowboy fans, he was the quarterback for Dallas Cowboys. And in 1971, he won the Super Bowl. But he said, I had a hard time being the quarterback because Tom Landry, which was a great coach, and he said he was a genius. He called every single play. He says, my pride was like, I want to call some plays. And Tom said, once in a while, you could change it, but you better be right. So he was honest. He said, I was so frustrated. But then he said this. He said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. He said, once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. It's because we have this, submission has a bad rap. Not according to the Bible, though. It's the total opposite. It's the total opposite. Thomas Kempis said this, instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. Wow. So watch, we go away from the gospel when we don't submit. Why? Because everyone in this room, if you're saved, if you're watching, you had to submit initially to the gospel, to Jesus Christ, right? To get saved. But then we got to keep submitting. Remember, it's not a bad word. It leads to what? Freedom. I want you to drill that into your head. It leads to freedom. It leads to worship. It's not the opposite of what you think. It's because, you know why? We're trying to submit in the flesh. And nobody wants to submit in the flesh. No one. This is a supernatural thing. That's why Christ is the center of everything. The gospel is the center. When you submit to that, you'll submit to the different areas. I'm going to go through the areas real quick. I'm going to give 10 of them, but I'm only going to focus on the last one today. So this idea of submitting, sometimes it's the hardest thing to follow someone else due to the pressure on the outside. There was this guy, his name was Christian Hirter. He was the governor of Massachusetts. And he said he was campaigning on, the story was told, he was campaigning his second term, and he was so hungry one day, he went to this church barbecue. And he got in line at his church barbecue, and as he was going along, each person got a piece of a chicken. So when he got there, the lady gave him one piece of chicken, and he said, I'm really hungry. Can you give me two? She goes, no, I've been ordered only to give one. And then he said, do you know who I am? I'm the governor of the state. And the lady says, do you know who I am? I'm the lady who gives out the chicken. And she said to him, move on, mister. See, when you get pressured, we get pressured not to submit. And I'm going to get to that in the society. We're going to get to some of that stuff, the pressures not to submit. Another story I found as I was studying was this. It was a housekeeper for John Galbraith. Her name was Emily Wilson. And so John said to his housekeeper, hold all my calls. I'm going to take a nap. I don't want to be disturbed. So the phone rings, and it's Lyndon Johnson, the president of the United States. And he says, I want to talk to John. And she says, he's taking a nap. He doesn't want to be disturbed. And the president says, wake him up. And she says, no, Mr. President, I don't work for you. I work for him. True story. Later on, the president talked to John and said, I want to hire that lady for the White House. So all the pressures of life are going to say, don't submit. Don't submit. It's even harder to submit when we disagree with what someone's telling us to do. Now, I'm not talking about sin and those things, right? I found another true story. I mean, I just saw so many stories. This is one I want to read to you. And this is a true story in World War II. And it's by Joe Johnson in the book Courage. You can stand strong in the midst of fear. And I just want to read it because I don't want to miss anything. World War II was at its height. Forces were engaged in what was known as the Battle of the Bulge, or in the Christmas War of 1944. The fighting was fierce in a bitter cold and snow. The Allied forces bombed and established control of the strategic area. The commanding officers turned to several of his men and said, sweep across this field and kill all German soldiers still entrenched in the snow. I want no prisoners, absolutely none. One of the American soldiers gives his account of what happened. As I walked, I immediately shot and killed two wounded and suffering soldiers. He continues, then suddenly I approached a tall young guy with a broad forehead. He was leaning against a tree. He wasn't wounded, simply exhausted. He had no food, no water, no comrades in sight, no ammunition. He was in fear, fatigue, defeated. Loneliness overwhelmed him. He spoke English with this accent, this German accent. He says, when I noticed a little black Bible in his shirt pocket, he reminisces, we started to talk about Jesus and salvation. He says, wouldn't you know it, this lanky German soldier turned out to be a born-again Christian who deeply loved the Lord. I gave him water from my canteen. I gave him crackers. Then we prayed and read God's word together. We wept together too. His voice began to tremble as tears flashed down his cheeks. His face began to reflect anguish. It seems like only yesterday we stood apart, or a foot apart, reading Psalms. I read Romans 12 to him from the King James translation. He showed me a black and white picture of his wife and daughter. The soldier took a deep breath. You see, in those days, I was a young man in my early 20s. I had just graduated from a Christian college in Illinois and hadn't had time to sort out my thoughts on the war. Maybe that's why I did what I did. I bid my German brother farewell, took several steps away, and then returned to the soldier. Romans 13. Thou shalt not kill commandment, the promises of eternal life, the Prince of Peace, the Sunday school districts between killing and murdering. So all this is going around in his mind, he says. The rationale of the war. When the German soldier saw me returning, he bowed his head, he closed his eyes in the classic prayer posture. Then it happened. I said three crisp sentences that I still repeat once or twice a week when I have nightmares about the war. You're a Christian, I am too. See you later. In less than a second, I transformed that defenseless Christian into a corpse. So he submitted to what his officer said to do. It's a true story. I'm not making this up. Again, I'm not saying if you disagree, agree. He's going to Romans 13. We fight all these things. Now let me go through, who do we submit to by God? Different areas of submission. I'm just going to list them. I can't go over all one of them, but I'm just going to list them for you because I'm going to focus on the last one today. The first one is all Christians submit to the Father. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, and it's, again, hubitasso, yourselves therefore to God. So everyone has to submit to God. If they don't do it now, they're going to have to later. They're going to have to bend the knee later. Second one, real quick here, Christ to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject, again, that idea of submission unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Third one, see, Jesus to the Holy Spirit, Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led, got submitted up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I'll just make one comment on that. Submission doesn't always mean things are going to be easy on the outside. He was submitting unto the Holy Spirit to go to be tempted. So don't think when you submit, oh, it's going to be the greatest thing outwardly all the time. Absolutely not. That's that prosperity theology teaching. You'll never suffer. You know, God just wants to bless you all the time. Be careful. It's a false gospel. D, all creation to Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:27. For we have put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things that are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. E, the church to Christ. Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, as the church is subject, again, hubotasso, submitting unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. We're going to get to that in a minute, okay? Submitting to Jesus is the key to submitting all other areas, right? Peter Forsett said this, the first duty of every soul is to find not his freedom, but his master. Wait. So think about this. We try to go look for freedom, but you'll never find freedom without submission. Right? We want this life that is ease, but what these scriptures are saying, until you submit unto Christ, you'll never find freedom. And when we have trouble submitting unto the authorities in our life, we have trouble with Christ. Because the first submission is here, right? So if we have trouble with here, we have trouble with here. Get that? Because when we say, no, it's that person. Not really. Maturity is a submissive life. So when we're not submissing, and I'm not talking about, we're going to get into this, being abused and all that kind of stuff. We'll get into some of that in a minute. I'm talking about when the person's not telling you anything to do that is wrong, according to God. When we have trouble submitting, if I have trouble submitting to Victor and say he's my dad, he's my boss, and all that, we're going to get into that, is my problem is here first. It's not here. F, the congregation, the church leaders, Hebrews 13:7, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. So now watch the connections. There's so many connections when I started studying this. Crazy. Submission to joy. Submission to productivity. See what it's saying in that verse? If there is submission, right, there's going to be joy. And if there's submission, there's going to be things are going to take place. It's going to be profitable. You know, I've been getting involved more with the music in our church over this Corona thing. It's been a great thing. We're able to do this. I've just been sitting here watching what has been happening. Not that I'm sitting here, I'm directing everything. But you know what I noticed? I see the submission taking place with everybody. Right? Hey, what do you think about this? Why would we do it this way? John will say this, or somebody will say this, and somebody will say this. And then eventually they come to this. It's not one person saying, you better do this. And you know what comes from that? The joy. What comes from that? It's profitable. So if you're in any ministry, you do anything, and you say, I want it my way, and that's it, and you come across that way to everybody, there won't be joy in there. Won't be joy in your home. Won't be joy in the church. Won't be joy in that ministry. Now, I get it at the end. Somebody has to make a decision. I get that. Children to parents. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 here. We'll get into this deeper as I get to these passages in the coming weeks. But let me just read it. Children, obey. It's hupakuo. It's the same idea. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let me just say one thing about this. Remember, when we don't submit in any area that we're supposed to, there will be consequences. If the kid says, you know what, I'm not going to listen to my parents, I'm out of here. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Your life may be cut short. That's what verse is saying. Now, again, I'm not saying if a parent is abusive and all that. I'm going to get into that when I talk about wives submitting in a minute. Because I know what you're thinking. You're like, so wait, oh, I'm not going to submit because they told me, well, just wait, I'm going to get there. Dr. B.J. Miller said this, it is a great deal easier to do what God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibility of not doing it. What if Jesus, I thought about this, what if Jesus said, I'm not going to the cross. I don't like this plan. Why do I have to leave heaven, take on human flesh, and die and suffer shame, be spit upon, mocked. I'm God. We'd be in big trouble. That wasn't easy. Younger men to older men. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, you younger, submit hubotasso yourselves unto the elder. Yes, watch this now. Yes, all of you be subject one to another. Going back to that concept again, you know, having this spirit, the spirit of humility back and forth, of submitting, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So another key, it ties submission to humility. Without humility, submission can't take place. Right? When there's pride there, no way, it's not going to happen. Now here, I think it's like both parties. Even if one is in authority. Last Monday, Jamie and I, we put together these things so we can lift up the speakers. And I said, Jamie, we need to do this for the Indian speakers. They can't hear the speakers as well when they're up here and they can't hear themselves. We need to do this. So my authority says, man, we need to do this so they can hear better. But Jamie's got the brains. I don't know how to build. I'm not that good. That's why my weakness is carpentry. Kind of the other stuff I kind of know. So we got together and said, Jamie, man, what do you think? How do you do this? And as we're doing it, see, I'm submitting unto him. You do this. Dude, you're good at this. They came to one part. I remember, oh, we got to put a lip on this to put the carpet. That was my only thing that I said. But my point is, when we're working together, no matter who's in authority, you work together. What do you think? And then it becomes profitable. The thing happens. What if I said, no, get to it this way, go this way. It's so frustrating. I'm out of here. It never would have happened. Workers to boss. Workers to boss. Ephesians 6:5. Look really quick here. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. We'll get there. We're going to unfold this whole thing in weeks to come. And then citizens to government. I spent a lot of time on this a couple of weeks ago. Romans 13, right? When I talk, God has given the government so there's restraint. There's not anarchy. Right? Romans 13, 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience. So we say, listen, don't just obey the government. And again, we talked about this. If there's laws that are not respecting all people or whatever, they need to be changed. Let's change them. Right? But there can't be, we're not going to submit to anything. We're just going to let everybody run around lawless. God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians 14:40. All right? Now, wives to husbands. And this is what I'm going to spend the rest of the time on now. Verse 22. So let's read verse 22. Now, you're sitting here, wait, Pastor, I'm not a wife. Yeah, I'm glad you're preaching this message. I'm a husband. No. Now, you're going to see. Wait until I get to the husband. Because the Apostle Paul talks way more to the husband than he does the wife. And maybe you're not married yet. You're going to get married. These principles that I'm going to show you in the Scripture, they apply. I just showed you all the times we got to submit. It's not just I sit up there and say, wives, submit unto your husband. I bless God. Amen. I've heard people preach that and just read that verse. What, you need to submit? I'm like, what? What does that mean? So listen, ladies, I'm going to give you three simple S's. You know me, that's how I remember. As a wife, if you can remember this, I try to simplify all these things. And I'm going to touch on the other two next week. I'm just going to touch on submission now. So you want to be, and I put down here, how to be a godly wife to bring unity and freedom in your marriage and home. Submit to your husband, number one. Number two, serve your husband. And number three, show respect to your husband. So just remember this. Submit, serve, and show respect. And I'll unfold what that means. I'm going to do submit today. Next week I'll do serve, and then I'll show respect. If you do those three things, you'll bring harmony to your marriage. And this is God's word. Forget about what the world teaches. What human psychology teaches. And I'm saying, they say everything wrong. No, if it agrees to the Bible, I agree with it. They say, forgive. Where does that come from? But they have no capacity. I was telling somebody yesterday, I was doing some counseling. until you totally have been forgiven by God, you cannot extend that forgiveness. Somebody could tell you to forgive, but if you don't understand God's forgiveness, you're going to have a limited forgiveness for that person because the flesh can only go so far. So the word submit, again, hubotasso, idea, subordination, to put under, to obey, to relinquish one's right. It's like, what? Now, so what I did was I said, why is it hard for a wife to submit unto her husband? Let me give you some reasons. Number one is the confusion of submission, the wrong concept of what it is. The first thing, it's not, submission doesn't mean you are inferior to the one you are submitting to. You are not inferior. Watch, Jesus submitted unto the Father, and he is God. Jesus submitted unto the Holy Spirit, but he is God. You know, I witnessed a Jehovah's Witness. They were saying, oh, wait, Jesus is submitting unto the Father. He can't be God. That doesn't mean that. Right? So, first of all, don't get in your mind like, oh, I got to submit unto my husband. You know, he's superior. Yeah, I'm inferior. No. That's not true. The second thing is, submission doesn't mean you are less important. Now, if you study women during the New Testament, they were like servants and slaves. Jewish, I found this quote by a Jewish man, and a lot of them prayed this. During that time, they'd pray, God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, that I'm not a slave, and I'm not a woman. They didn't look highly at women. And the Greeks were even worse, and the Romans were even worse. The Greeks looked at this idea of marriage, they just basically had a bunch of concubines. So they married to bear children and for the wife to keep the house. But they had the concubines on the side. And the Romans were even worse. The Romans basically, it was like legalized prostitution. And they could get a divorce very quickly. And women did not want to have children because they didn't want to mess up their figure. That was women in the New Testament times. The Jewish, the Greeks, the Romans, it was bad. Submission doesn't mean you're less important. 1 Corinthians 12:21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Right? It's saying in the body of Christ, we're all important. All the gifts are important. Now, one's not more important than the other. Think about this. If I ask you this question, who's more important, the private or the general? The answer is both. Because you need the privates to bring protection and go to war. You can have all generals, there's nobody going to war. See, one's not more important than the other. We think that because of position. It's not true. Submission doesn't mean you are less worthy or accepted in God's sight. Galatians 3, 28 and 29 says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are children of God by faith, and positionally, we're all worthy, whether you're a husband or a wife. However, there are distinctions when it comes to roles and functions. Right? Everyone can't be the chief. Right? Everyone can't be the boss. So when we submit, it doesn't mean we're inferior, less important, or less worthy. Actually, submission actually demonstrates that you are mature. So think that. When we're not submitting, we're immature. It's the truth. I'm showing you all these verses. I'm trying to connect all this for you. This is freeing. All right, so number one, why is it hard to submit unto the husband? The confusion of what submission is. Second is the curse of sin. Don't go there. I'm going to quote it to you. Genesis 3:16. After sin came into the world, says this, verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. If you've had a baby, they say it's the worst pain. I've never had a baby. But then the last part of that verse says this. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, the word desire there in the Hebrew is the same word used in Genesis 4:7, talking about Cain being controlled by sin. So the idea is to control over. So if I reread the verse, it says, thy desire will be to control over your husband. And then at the end it says, and he shall rule over thee. And we'll get to that in a minute. So watch, here's the dilemma after the curse. The wife goes, I want to rule over my husband. And the husband said, I want to rule over my wife. That's your sinful nature. It's a curse of sin. If you could go back before sin, naturally Eve would have submitted, loving desire. There would have been harmony in the garden. But after the fall, when sin entered, it all changed. The third reason why it's hard to submit. Now the confusion of submission, the curse of submission, the corruption of the society. The curse of sin not only affects the woman wanting to usurp the authority, we call it the feminist movement, but also the man wanting to demand. We call that male chauvinism. Right? The illustration, I found this famous Roman statesman, a quote back in that time, Marcus Cato said this, if you catch your wife in the act of infidelity, you can kill her without a trial. But if she wants to catch you, she would not venture to touch you with a finger. She has no rights. That was during the New Testament times. In some countries today see women as that. Now, the word submission in the Greek is the middle voice, which means this. She or any of us, we do it voluntarily. So no husband should say, honey, you need to submit. Submit one right now. You can't make anybody submit. It's passive. They have to do it themselves. God has to change their heart. That'll change my heart. We can't change nobody's heart. The best way for a husband to help his wife submit is to love them. And we're going to get into that. See, we need to lead by love, not by authority. Hey, I'm the man in the house. You're going to do what I say. No, it's the total opposite. You lead by love. Our society has blurred distinctions today. The husband is made out to be a bumbling idiot. You watch sitcoms. He's not father knows best back in the 50s, I think. Most women run the house in society. It's the truth. Sad. Because they've gone away from the biblical foundation. God has created this. It's not me. I'm not saying. Believe me, it goes against everything that we have inside. We want to do what we want to do. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. And that leads to my fourth one. So the confusion of submission, the curse of sin, the corruption of society, the careless acts of men. It is so difficult to submit to a husband who is unsensitive and irresponsible. Now, I know men, husbands that they just spend money on things that they can't even afford. And like, why just spend money on that? They're gambling with their money. They're buying alcohol, spending money on this and all these things. They're on drugs. And they're spending money over here. They're being irresponsible, being lazy. And then his wife's kind of like, oh, I got to submit to this guy? Now, it's not about abuse. And I'm going to get that in a minute. I know it's hard. So let me tell you a few things what submitting is not. First of all, submitting is not being a doormat. Submitting does not mean a woman is to be trampled on and treated like a slave or some servant. Submission does not mean taking abuse by your husband. Unfortunately, I know people who have beat their wife. We're not talking about that. Call the police. Second, it's not mindless. Mindless. What I mean by that is submission doesn't mean the wife gives no input, just follows saying, anything you say, honey. I found this out. It's a fact that women use both sides of their brains more than men. Right? So on the left side of the brain deals with reason and logic, and that's what men use the most is the left side of our brain, right? The right side deals with emotion, feelings, and sympathy. And it's a fact that women use both sides. Men use just more of the left side. That's why they're less emotional. Now, it doesn't mean they can't be. Look, when I'm watching a Hallmark movie with Linda, I cry first. So I'm using a little bit of the other side. Maybe there's some synapses that they, you know, I connected there. Women use both sides of the brain more than men. So when this whole COVID thing hit, I was like, okay, how can we stay connected to the church, Linda? So I'm trying to text people. I've been trying to call you or leave a message and whatever. She came up with the idea, let's make a sign. It says, we miss and love you. And let's go to everybody's house. I was like, man, that's a great idea. They're not mindless. They're not a doormat. And thirdly, I put down meaningless. And what I mean by that, submission doesn't mean a wife is inferior or has no purpose, but just to be a stepping stone for her husband's life. Because I heard that taught. Now, I'm going to get next week to Genesis, that you're supposed to be a helpmeet. I'm going to get to that. But this idea that it's all about my husband and nothing about me at all. Be careful. So in no way does submission imply inferiority. It's all about function. It's all about harmony. Again, Jesus submitting to the Holy Spirit, to the Father, so man can be saved. Someone said this about submission as a wife. It means you trust and allow your husband to protect you and to take care of you. He may fail at times. Not he may, he will. But you allow him to grow and to learn. You love him and let him know you are on his side as a teammate. A wife should be daily praying for her husband, to whom wisdom and guidance as he leads. This does not mean you have no voice, no opinion, or mind of your own. It means you respect his role as a husband and he respects your role as a wife. He realizes he can't do it without you. I still wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for Linda. I'm being honest. I probably wouldn't be here. Probably would have gave up. It's a team. We were at a certain place the other day, and walked in, and she came, she kissed me, we're just talking, we're having a great time together, and somebody commented, they said, wow, I don't do that with my husband, we don't have that. And I said, marriage is about being a team. It's about helping one another. If I got to clean the house, because you got to work, I'm cleaning the house. Whatever we got to do, you're going to work together. Now, that's her job. You can have a great, great marriage if you work together. Someone else said this. When God created a woman, she was taken from the rib of a man, as is described in Genesis. She was not taken from his foot, that she might be crushed underneath his heel in bitterness. Neither was she taken from his head, so she might rule over him. She was not taken from the hand, so that she might continually fill the position of waiting upon him. She was taken from the rib on man, that she might be by his side continually. I like that. All right, let me end with this morning. The biblical mindset to make it easier to submit. It's right here found in Scripture. Remember, I'm getting my points from the Scripture. Number one, we see Christ when we look at our husband. Ephesians 5:22, that little phrase. Wives, submit unto yourselves, unto your own husbands. Here it is, as unto the Lord. That little phrase helps so much. The word as in the Greek, it's has. It's the idea of in that manner, the same way you would do to Christ. Render service to the Lord by submitting to your husband. I tell you, this is very practical. So watch. You have to see your husband as Jesus is standing there. And Jesus asked you to do this thing. You say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to do it. And then you look at your husband, you see all his flaws and this, that. No, I ain't doing it. Now, I'm not talking about abuse, him telling you to do things that aren't right. I'm not. Again, I describe what submission is and is not. Go to all the other areas we talked about. I know it's not an easy message, but it's the truth. God's word is true. Second, realize it is a command by God, not your husband. Verse 23, and we'll look more in depth in these verses next 2 weeks from now. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, we don't like that. You know, again, that whole idea, he's the head. God designed this. I didn't. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit, again, houpatos yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit. And in the Greek there has the idea of attaining to, the idea of proper. It is your duty as a wife. As a husband, again, do not demand submission. Love her to submission. Verse 25. Husband, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Now, husbands or anybody in any position that you have people under you and you're telling them what to do, you and I will give an account. I'm going to give an account every single word I said this morning. So take that into account when you tell somebody what to do. You're going to give an account. It's not like I could do whatever I want. See, without God, think about it. Without, there's no God. There's no making rights wrong to the end. Hey, you could do whatever you want. I love to talk to people who say, I don't believe any moral absolutes. And I said to them, all right, right now I'm going to punch you in the face, take all your money, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's okay. I think cannibalism is good. So you know what? I'm gonna eat your mother. Like, when there's no moral absolutes, I say crazy stuff like that to show them that it's not true. Right? There's some civilization that believes cannibalism is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. If there's no moral standards, no God, you're in trouble. You could say, man, I want nothing to do with God. I'm going to do my own thing. It's not true. Now, submission, unfortunately, is not always easy, especially when you feel rejected. I'll give you a quick example, and I'll give you one last point, and we'll close. If you go back to Genesis chapter 16, Abraham and Sarai were supposed to have a baby. God said, you're going to have a baby. Through that seed, you know the Messiah is going to come. They waited for 10 years, and finally they said, oh, man, I can't wait any longer. So Sarai says, man, I want to have a kid. Long story short, Abraham says, okay. So back then, you had slaves, women that were, you know, kind of, you were doing, they were working for you, whatever. So now when Abraham went to her, she no longer became a slave to them. She actually became part of the household. And she would bring forth Ishmael. But when that happened, Sarah was like, she was despised. I hate her. She started dealing harsh with her, so she runs out into the wilderness, Hagar. You can read it in Genesis 16. And Jesus, Christophany, we believe, Jesus came to her. And you know what he said to her? He was comforting her, but he said this. The angel of the Lord, which we believe was Jesus, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. Like, what? That doesn't make sense. All right, last thing, we'll close. See Christ when you look at your husband. Realize it's a command by God, not your husband. 3, be totally committed to submitting, not partially. You say, where do I get that from? Look at verse 24. Therefore, as Christ is subject the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Watch this. In everything. You're like, what? Everything? Are you kidding me? It's the idea there is... In every area of life. Not, he tells me to steal, lie, do something wrong. Of course not. It's not saying that. So submission allows the marriage to work together to bring glory to God. Without submission in the marriage and home, there will be disunity and frustration. And we'll get to the husband. When there is no love, same thing. Our Christian marriage is supposed to point to Christ. Right? So what Linda and I have, or what you have, and one day you will have, it's supposed to show Christ to the world, our marriage. That's one of the main purposes of marriage. Isn't that just for yourself? If you're a Christian, no. There's a greater purpose. A man named Ron was discussing how fragile marriages are with his girlfriend, and he posed this question. He says, what if you wake up one morning and you don't love me anymore? And this is what she responded. There's always obedience. Yeah, you guys have the idea, there's always going to be romantic feelings we're going to have all the time, and it's not true. It's going to be obedience to Christ. Let me summarize. Jesus loved us so much, he submitted his life to a shameful death. He left his glory for you and me so you could be free. Please get saved today. You're watching. You're not saved. You will bow the knee someday. Please bow it today. It will bring you freedom. Freedom from sin, the penalty of sin. Two, all of us as believers must submit to Christ to be saved and to be fruitful and productive. Watch. You want to have fruitfulness in your life and productivity? I don't care about it. You can read all the books. I'm reading this book right now by this guy. It's a Christian perspective about being productive and being successful in business and all these things, you know. And he's like giving some of the opposite things that the world teaches. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, and he's saying, look, we're saved. We're supposed to glorify God, but now we're supposed to help our brother. We're supposed to love our neighbor. He says, look at that way. Look at people. Don't look at money. And you pour it into the people. You know what I realized? I stopped, as a pastor, I stopped looking to the future. And so every day I'm trying to do this now. I get up and it's like, Lord, this is a day. Say I'm going to see Ed Wallace today. I'm going to see Ed, I'm going to see Ken. I'm going to say, like, Lord, help me to edify my brother today. If I see lost people, I'm just going to look at today and that's it. Whoever's in front of me, I just want to bless. He says, if you do that in business and you build a company or whatever and you look to help people, you'll build that company up. But if you're looking just to make money, you'll cut this person, do that. They don't care about the people. It's about doing good to your fellow man. That doesn't get you to heaven. But the Bible is clear. Well, what does it say? Do good works unto men that they may see God and glorify God which is in heaven. Three, when we have trouble submitting in any area, it's a reflection of our weak spiritual condition at that moment. Four, submission has nothing to do with being inferior in any way. Five, understand when we fail to submit, we are dishonoring God. We're not worshiping him. Only by submitting to Jesus, the gospel of grace, every moment can we submit to anyone else. See, everything is central to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the gospel. That's it. All of us go astray. Nobody wants to submit. But when you submit unto him, and he has this plan of submission in many realms, and we live by that, we'll be free inside. We'll enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. We'll be productive for God. And you will get rewards someday. You don't get them all down here. Father, we thank you for your patience with us, patience with me. Forgive me for not always submitting unto Christ and doing my own thing, going my own way. Think I know what's best. So I ask God that you would forgive us this morning. And I'm sure you could be praying that right now in your heart if you're a Christian. If you've never bowed your knee, you've never been born again, you've never accepted Christ, you've never accepted the gospel of grace, please, I'm begging you to do that today. And you must submit to do that. You have to say, I am a sinner. I am no good. I can't get to heaven. I'm turning, Lord. I'm repenting for my sin and what I'm trusting with. I'm putting away my good works and I'm coming to you by grace. I'm submitting. Please save me. If you do that today, you could be saved. But that doesn't mean submission is over. We got to continue to submit unto the gospel of grace. Unto Jesus himself. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our happiness. Jesus came to serve. And once you're a Christian, God wants to use you now. He loves you. Now watch. Look, your position in Christ is everything. You can't be separated from his love. No matter what you do, we have this privilege. We can go to the throne of grace in the time of need. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the gospel. It's nothing else. You will never be productive. You will never enjoy the fruit of the Spirit without submission, and I won't either. So submit today. Ask God to forgive you for not bringing him worship by submission. Ask him to forgive you for not bringing unity in the body. So, Father, the best I can, change all of us that we would worship you, we would have joy, we would have productivity, we have effectiveness for you and for your glory. That's it. If you're a wife here today, maybe you're listening, you'll be a wife someday. I know it's not easy, but it'll bring you freedom. So surrender today. Surrender. Submit. In these realms, and you're going to be blessed. I've just been submitting one day at a time to God. It's been so freeing to me. God, I just thank you. You're a loving God, a merciful God. And you're going to come back for us. I pray for all these people here. May we walk out of this place different. Just surrender to you, submit it to you, and everything else is going to take care of it. It's only right for what you have done for us. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We all want to do our own thing. Please help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.